Hi, I'm Richard Lazovic, owner and president of Mortgage Pro News. Welcome to our ongoing Thrive Now Success series to help small business owners like you thrive in today's current market. I'd like to introduce Ted Prodromou, who is going to be joining Mortgage Pro News. Ted has been working in the technology industry for almost 30 years, with the internet for 15 years, and has owned his own consulting business for the last 10 years. Ted will be interviewing our special guest tonight, Russell Brunson.
Thanks, Richard.
Go ahead, Ted.
Yeah, I met Russell Brunson about 2 years ago at an internet marketing event, and it was the first time he ever spoke in public, and he just really, really resonated with me. He was just so genuine and authentic, and he's like the nicest person you're ever going to meet. And I've been following his career over the past few years, and he actually got started in online business in 2002 when he was going to college, and he had just gotten married, and he was wrestling on the wrestling team at Boise State. So his schedule was totally full, and he only had about an hour a day to work on his online business, but he really needed money. So he came to that decision point where I got to make this work or I'm going to have to get a job. And I just love hearing Russell's stories, and I'm sure he's going to share quite a few with us tonight. So, Russell, I'd like to welcome you to our call.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here with you today. I think it's the first time we've done a teleseminar together, so it's kind of fun to be able to speak together at the same time. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, you know, why you got started in online business.
Okay. Kind of like what you said, I came up to Boise State on a wrestling scholarship, and when I came up to my dad told me, he said, look, you can wrestle, but you're not allowed to get married. So that was kind of my rule, and quickly I found my wife and decided I want to marry her, and so we got married. And the problem with it was is the way that the NCA works is you're not allowed to have a full-time job or even to make more money than your scholarship provides. Otherwise, they can take away your eligibility to wrestle and things like that. And so I couldn't go get a job. My wife was working to kind of support us, and she was making about $9.50 an hour. So between her job and me wrestling, you know, we were making enough money to barely cover our bills and groceries. And I wanted to figure out a way to kind of help offset those costs. That's when I turned to the internet and started trying to figure out, you know, how can I start making some money and start building a business where I can help out with the bills and so that my wife doesn't have to keep working. And, you know, so that's kind of how it got started. So I went online and started playing around, and obviously, as most people do, I bumped into about a million different business opportunities and tried most of them and found that most of them, you know, were either a scam or they just wasn't an easy way to make any money. And so I got really frustrated and kept trying different things. And then one day, I kind of stumbled upon a system and just kind of figured out exactly how, you know, how making money online really, really works, which obviously we're going to talk about a lot of that tonight. But, you know, it took about a year and a half to 2 years of trial and error before I figured it out. And at that point, you know, after I learned how the system worked, I just kind of started duplicating it over and over and over again and expanding it and growing it. And, you know, fast forward, you know, 2.5 years after that, and the company that we have now, we've got, I think, 14 employees. It's a pretty large-sized company. We do, you know, over seven figures a year. And it's been, you know, a lot of fun kind of growing and developing a business. And that's kind of, I guess, my background and how I got started and where we're at today after running this business for a couple of years.
That's great, because a lot of the people we work with are small business owners, and they're just starting out, and they all seem to be in the same boat. I have no money, I have no experience, and I have no time. It's like I hear that over and over and over. How did you overcome that?
Well, those are like the three keys. It seems like everyone, whenever I mention to people too, they're like, how in the world, I've got a great idea, but I don't have any money to do it. I've got a great idea, but I'm just too busy, I don't have time. In fact, today we were recording a radio spot for a radio ad we're doing here locally, and the guy who was recording the thing is like, oh, I've got so many ideas, and I could da-da-da and all this stuff, and he told me, but I just don't have any time to do it. It just made me laugh because, I had those same three excuses I could have fallen back on, but, luckily I didn't. And I'm going to kind of talk really briefly about how, in my personal situation, I overcame those. And the first one, obviously, is time, and that's a huge one. When I was wrestling at school, this is kind of the way my schedule is. I wake up every morning at about 5:30. I would drive over to the school, and we had early morning weights at 6. So from 6 to about 7 to 7:30, we lift weights. I'd drive home and have breakfast with my wife real quick, and I'd go to class all day, and I'd have about an hour or two between class and wrestling practice, where I'd jump online in the computer labs and try to figure this stuff out. And then I'd drive over to wrestling practice, and I'd wrestle the rest of the night, and then I'd go home and do my homework and spend time with my wife. And so, you know, I had about an hour to 2 hours every single day between wrestling practice and class that I could actually go and try to figure all this stuff out. And so, you know, obviously I didn't have a lot of time either, but I was able to use that time and really leverage it. And the way that I leveraged my time is I didn't, you know, initially, obviously, I fell into the same syndrome I think a lot of people have, is they say, you know, I want to make money online, and they found out that to make money online, it takes, you know, quite a few skills. You have to learn how to write ad copy, how to set up websites, how to design graphics, how to create products, and, you know, it goes on and on the whole list. And you know, normally, that's what you look at. And I thought, you know, I've got 2 hours a day. I can't figure out all this stuff. There's no possible way I can do that. So I said, I'm going to look at myself less as someone who's going out there and creating all this stuff from scratch, but more as a contractor, where I get an idea. I say, okay, I want to create this product. I want to do this thing. And I look at myself as a contractor, and I go, say, I get to be able to develop this, I'm going to need someone who can write copy, someone who can design graphics, someone who can set up a website, and all these different things. So my job as an entrepreneur wasn't to go and create all this stuff. It was just to know what was involved. And I would go, and I'd hire someone to set up a website, and I'd hire someone to do this. And each day, I'd go, you know, during my hour or day that I had to work on as a business, I'd go there, and I'd find all the people I needed to hire, and I'd outsource it all, and then I'd go to wrestling practice. Next day, I'd come back, and I'd see if they were done with the projects. If not, I'd send them back, and I'd go to wrestling practice. And it kind of worked like this every single day. But I was able to get, you know, 10, 20, 30 hours worth of work done every day during an hour period of time because I leveraged my time through outsourcing. So time is, you know, one thing that if you learn how to outsource it, then that should never become a problem. The second one in the list, obviously, is money. And that was a huge one for me. Like I said, when I got started, my wife was making about $9.50 an hour. And, you know, we had our rent and our food, and that was about all that it covered. And so we didn't have any money at all. So I can empathize with that, you know, very, very, very strongly. But when I was getting started, I actually, you probably read this book. Have you read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad before?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was reading that book during the same time, and there were, I don't remember, you know, everything about the book, but there was one concept that he taught in there that really struck a chord with me and really resonated with me. And basically what he said that people will look at things in different ways. So that someone will come and they'll see, like, let's say they'll see a Ferrari on the side of the street. And one person will come look at that car and say, oh, I can't afford that. And the next person will come look at that car and say, oh, I want that. How can I afford that? Now, the difference between those two statements is really small. One was, I can't afford that, and one was, how can I afford that? And the difference, you know, while it's really small, you know, as far as the word, what it does to you is huge. You know, when you say, I can't afford that, instantly your mind is shut off to all possibilities of you know, building forward and success, and, you know, you kind of shut yourself off. But when you say, how can I afford that, then all of a sudden your mind opens up to, you know, what do I need to do to make this, to accomplish this? And, you know, it opens up your mind to all the possibilities and different ways to go out and do that. And, you know, I was the same way. I mentioned the first of the call that I struggled for almost 2 years trying to get this thing figured out. And finally I realized that to have the success I needed, there was an investment I needed to make in my business. Otherwise, I couldn't get past the sticking point, but I didn't have any money in my bank account to make that investment. And so I sat down with my wife, and I really said, you know, this is what we got to do, and then I got to figure out how to afford this because it was something I feel like we really need to be successful. And so, you know, she agreed with me, and so I went out, and actually one of my buddies who works for me now, we went out and we started raking leaves around the neighborhood. And we, you know, we spent all day Saturday and all night Friday, and every single weekend for a couple weeks raking leaves and making money and, you know, doing odd jobs here and there. And I was able to earn the money I needed to invest in the product I needed to be able to help me set up my business. And that was really a huge turning point for me because I went out and I had a financial incentive in it at that point. It wasn't just me saying, oh, I want to, you know, make money, I want to have success, and leave it at that. Instead, I went and I worked my butt off to be able to earn some money so I could invest in this thing. And it meant the whole world to me at that point. So money is something that's there. It's obviously a huge concern for people, but if you look at it as something, you look at an opportunity and say, how can I afford that? And start thinking outside the box and thinking about ways you can afford things as opposed to saying, oh, I can't afford that, then that's going to really open up your mind. So that's kind of two of the three. We talked about time, money, and the last one, obviously, is experience. And with this, you know, this is something that I think is huge because You know, when I was getting started my business, I had no experience in any of this. And so what I started doing is I started going out and trying to find people who did have experience. The first product I ever created was a software product. Now, I don't know any programming or things like that, so I went and I found a programmer who had experience with programming, and I hired him. I created other products where I didn't have any understanding in the area that the product was created in, so I went and I interviewed people who did have experience and did know things. And so you don't have to have experience to be successful. You just have to find people who do have experience and go and you know, and work with them to create your products. I don't know, Ted, did you meet my dad? You mentioned how we met in Phoenix, was that a year and a half ago, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember my dad was there. I don't know if you had...
Oh, yeah, I met him, yeah.
Okay, good. He, I don't know if I've told you the story or not, but basically, an interesting thing with me is, you know, I keep doing this kind of stuff and teaching it and creating products, and one day I was looking around and I looked at my dad and I thought, you know, my dad's got a lot of talents and a lot of skills, and I sat down with him and I said, you know, what exactly do you do, Dad? You know, what do you do besides your basic job? He says, well, you know, I've got a lot of experience. I go into to companies and I set up their business structuring and this and that. And I thought, you know what? He's got a lot of experience in this area, and this is something a lot of people need to know about. So I hooked up with my dad, and we're creating a product right now, teaching how he goes in and sets up businesses and protects them from the government and from creditors and from predators and things like that. And so we've gone together to develop a product. I'm leveraging off his experience.
Right.
I had no experience in that kind of thing. But I went and I found his experience and was able to leverage that to turn it into a product. So that kind of, you know, hopefully cuts away the three big concerns most people have is you don't have money, you know, there are ways to get money. The second way, you don't have time. You know, if you manage yourself right, you can always find the time to outsource things. And the last one is experience. And if you don't have it, you can find people who do and network and leverage with those people to make those possibilities come true for you.
Yeah, from what you just said, what really stuck out for me is you had a burning desire to make this work. And you did everything possible to make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's key. I see so many people who try and can't figure it out for whatever reason. And a huge part of it is just taking action. You know what I mean? That's the biggest thing. If you take the action, move forward, and progress on it, you know, that's huge. Having desire is big, and second is taking the action and just moving and running forward with it. So,
I just heard an interview you did with somebody. I was listening to it today, actually. And you were talking about valuing time. Like if you worked for $9.50 an hour, that's one way to value your time. And now you value your time at a much higher level.
Yeah, well, I think that's very interesting. You know, we always talk about that, about, you know, someone, you know, everyone should put a value on their time. You know, what's your time worth? And if you're working for $5 an hour, then that's what you're valuing your time at. You know, and so for me, I always, I don't know if this is something that's prideful or whatever, but I always value my time really, really highly. You know, it's time I could be spending with my wife and my kids, you know, so it's got to be, you know, it's going to cost a lot of money to get me to pull away my time for someone else. And so, you know, you look at that, and you look, okay, you know, I can go out and I can learn programming. It's going to take me 6 months of time to figure it out. And I can spend, you know, 6 months trying to figure out how to be a graphic designer and all this stuff. But it's so much easier to hire someone who's already proficient and very good at that for you know, $50, $60, $70 than it is for you to spend 6 months of your time going and learning and figuring it out.
Right.
It's just an interesting concept I don't think a lot of people really think about. When you think about that, when you put a value on your time, then it makes things, you know, it opens up a lot of doors. I know that right now, and we kind of joke about this in my office, but I value my time at $1,000 an hour. And so for me to go and do tasks that, you know, I hire someone for $50 or $60 or $70 an hour, you know, it doesn't make any sense for me to do that, because I can make more money if I'm focusing on the things that actually bring the money in. You know what I mean?
That's one of the biggest issues I run into with small business owners. They want to do it all themselves and learn it all, and they don't have time.
Oh, yeah. I think it kills more people because they get stuck right there.
Yep. I've heard there's like one big secret that you found that eludes most people that are struggling to make money.
Yeah, this is interesting. When I first got started, I'm sure that you see this all the time too, but I started, you know, when I first got started, it was before I got online, I started watching infomercials at night, and I saw like one guy selling this real estate course, and I thought, oh yeah, that's the way to make money, so I bought that. And then I bought, you know, saw some guy talking about AdSense, and some guy talking about, you know, who knows what, everyone's talking about something they're selling. I thought, you know, these are all good products, and I bought a lot of them. And then I started looking at other markets, and I started seeing, you know, people selling products about how to lose weight, and then people selling products on how to, how to clean carpets better, and people selling products, and how to get more clients. You know, if you're a dentist, how to get more clients, and all this stuff. And you know, I kept watching stuff, and all of a sudden, like one day, I don't know what happened. I had like an epiphany, or I don't know how to say that word exactly, but I had something that struck me. I thought, you know, these guys are doing something very intelligent. And you know, it looks on the outside, look, I'm selling a course on how to make money with real estate. But if you step back and you look at the big picture, is that guy making money selling real estate, or is that guy making money selling information about how to make money in real estate? And I stepped back and started looking at all the industries, and I had something pop in my head, and this is what it was. It says, you want to do what they do, not what they say. You want to look at successful people and do what they're doing, not so much what they're saying. And so I stepped back and started looking. I said, look, here's this big, huge real estate guru. Where's he making his money? Selling information products. Here's this guy who's selling information products to dentists. Where's he making his money? He's not making his money drilling people's teeth. He's making money selling information to dentists. And, you know, it really kind of struck me. And then I heard a story that really tied the whole thing together. And this is a story about a guy named Sam Brennan. And Sam Brennan, he lived out in San Francisco during the gold rush days. And when he was out there, he had, one of the smartest ideas probably ever happened to man. He saw all these people out there who were out there mining for gold and, you know, panning for gold and trying to make money with gold. And he thought, you know, to make money in gold, they need shovels. So he went around all San Francisco and bought up every shovel in the whole city, took them back to his store, and they got a little handful of gold dust. He started running around the streets saying, there's gold in the American River, there's gold in the American River. What happened is all these people started going crazy and started running to try to find some shovels to go mine it, and all the shovels were at his store. So they all went, bought the shovels from Sam, went out to dig gold, and Sam Brennan became the first millionaire in San Francisco history. Wow. Now, that's an exciting story. He wasn't making money out there digging for gold. He wasn't making money out there, you know, selling real estate or, you know, drilling people's teeth or whatever. He was making money selling the shovels to the people who were doing that. And it's a powerful concept when you learn about it. You look at any of the industries, and you look at the people who are making the most money, and it's the people who are selling the information about how to do something. And so I look at that concept and say, wow, that's exciting. I'm going to start focusing not so much on, you know, making money with AdSense or doing whatever the little thing is, but look at creating information products in the different niches I'm in. And, you know, we're involved in a whole bunch of different niches. There's one that we actually just finished the DVD product for yesterday, but one of the niches we're in is in potato guns. And it's kind of a funny joke we tell a lot of people, but, you know, up here in Idaho, that's one of our favorite pastimes. I mean, spring break, me and my buddy, all we do is we build potato guns for 2 weeks straight, you know, potato guns. And one day I went on to Overture, and I was doing some searches, and I found out that during that month, there were over 14,000 searches on the Overture networks for how to make a potato gun. And
wow.
So I thought, there is a shovel sold here. And so we went, we got our little cheap camera, set it up, and recorded my friend and I making potato guns and exactly how we do it, all the important parts of it. And like I said, now we finally got the DVD completed yesterday, and we're finishing the sales letter up in the next 2 weeks, and we're going to start selling that shovel to this market. Now, obviously, it's a really small market, but the concept is the same. People are out there looking for information. If you become the person who sells that information, you're going to be making a whole ton of money. So look at, you know, whatever your talents, your hobbies, whatever it is that excites you, and then look outside of there, and you'll find people who need and who want that kind of information about that product. So
whatever you're passionate about, your hobbies, just things you like to do.
I think that's the best place to go first. I mean, we go, you know, right now we're going really hard into the fitness industry because that's something I'm passionate about. We're starting a huge supplement website and all this stuff, and we're selling supplements and information products to people who want to get fit, get in shape, build bigger muscles, because that's something I'm passionate about and gets me excited. And I can go out and I can create products based around that, and basically giving shovels to people who want to go get, you know, increase their bench press or jump higher or whatever it might be.
So what I'm hearing is you have a million ideas. Instead of trying to do it all yourself, you come up with an idea and you hand it off to your staff who puts it into your system, and it just flows right through the system, and you have a whole new company essentially running.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's one of the hardest problems, too. You get so many ideas, you want to keep developing stuff, and sometimes it's learning how to control those ideas from coming out. But, yeah, that's definitely the way it works. You get an idea, you find a good market, and, you know, the process is simple. I think we're going to talk about that next, but, you know, it's a three-step process. You create a product, you write a sales letter, you drive traffic to that sales letter, and you just do it over and over and over again. And you know, it's really pretty simple when all is said and done, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. You talked about creating a foundation also for the business. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, definitely. That's something that's really important, especially with the kind of business that a lot of small business owners are starting. They're usually starting this thing out of their basement or, you know, the closet next door, whatever. And you find that there are two types of a foundation you have to worry about. The first one is the mental aspect of your foundation, because you know, I see probably 80 to 90% of people who get into involved in this business end up quitting because it's not that easy. It gets, you know, it can make a lot of money really, really quickly, but it takes a while for you to understand all the pieces and how it works together. And so it's important to have a strong mindset. And we talk a lot about mindset in our training courses and how to structure your mind and focus so that you can have the success you're looking for. And the second part of the foundation is as far as the legal aspects of your company, setting up your corporations, your LLCs the right way, protecting yourself from people who want to sue you, protecting yourself, you know, from taxes, from all sorts of stuff like that. And so setting up your foundation is huge, because if you don't have that foundation in place, it's going to make, in the future, when your business starts growing, it makes the whole thing more difficult. It can crumble really easily. So you want to focus a lot on both the mental preparation and also on the legal preparation and structuring of your company. You know, that's something you set up and you do once, and then it kind of takes care of itself, and then you can start doing the fun, the building parts of it that we talk about next.
Yeah. Can you tell me about, you changed your mindset, I've heard that before, and the mental preparation. How do you do that, and what triggered it for you? What, you know, the big shift that took you from struggling to success?
You know, that's a great question. It's something that's hard. I don't know if you ever read the book Psycho-Cybernetics?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By Dr. Maltz. That's something that I just started studying really recently and really helped me understand a lot about myself and about just the way the mindset works. But, you know, basically what happens is throughout our life we're kind of conditioned in one way or another about something. And a lot of people will, you know, especially during New Year's time, you look at this, it happens every single day. Everyone in New Year's sets these new goals for, you know, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to make money, and I'm going to, whatever their goal might be. They set all these goals, and then what happens is they go out there, and they start trying to achieve these goals, and pretty quickly they snap back to their original reality, and nothing ever changes. They might be good for a month and go to the gym every day for a month, and they don't go back. And so there are reasons that happens. A lot of it, obviously, is because of our inner conditioning, what we believe about ourselves. And so when you know that and you understand that, it comes back to figuring out, you know, how can I change the minor belief about myself? And you look at, let's say I'm starting a business, I keep failing. Why am I failing? Well, I'm failing because I'm not dedicating enough time, or, you know, I'm not shooting high enough, or whatever, you know, I'm just not moving forward. And you figure out what exactly it is that you're missing. And then from that, after you know what it is you're missing, then you can really focus on that and change that so that you're changing the inner person. It's hard to explain, but you're basically trying to change your inner self. And when you're able to change that, then the outer self, you know, is a lot easier. So for me, a lot of it was just, you know, first off, believing that I could do this, you know. My whole life I used to always tell my brothers and stuff. So I was really into trying to make money when I was a little kid and trying all these little scams out and stuff. And I used to always tell my brothers, like, someday I'm going to be a millionaire. And they used to laugh at me and joke at me. And, you know, so for me, you know, a lot of that negative conditioning from family and friends and stuff growing up, you know, it always came through. And so for me, it was really spending a lot of time trying to focus on, you know, I can really do this type of thing and getting the right mindset and figuring out, you know, I can be successful and believing that. And when I was able to get that self-confidence and inner self-worth built up, then it made everything else a lot easier. I don't know if that makes sense or kind of ramble. But.
Yeah, the little voice inside your head, you've changed it from a negative to a positive.
Yeah.
And I've heard you say it to other people that on your commute to and from work every day, you listen to personal development tapes constantly.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty funny. I go through a course about every 2.5 weeks. And I know, Ted, you're coming to my offices next month. But if you come to my offices, I've got literally hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of courses on my shelf. And I buy them, I put them in my car, and I drive back and forth. And I purposely got an office about a half an hour away from my house. So I have a half an hour drive there and back, an hour a day of studying time and mental and all that kind of stuff. And that stuff's huge. You know, in fact, I'm starting a podcast that's going to be called Marketing in Your Car. And that's the whole concept of it is, you know, when you're driving, you're wasting time, you know, listening to music or talk radio or whatever, that you could use that time to market and develop yourself and really develop yourself into something big.
Mm-hmm. So kind of take me through the process. You said you build the foundation, you think of a product, and then you write a sales letter. Do you have any tips for writing sales letters?
Yeah, you know, sales letters can be a fun process, can be a hard process too, but one of the most important processes. And so, you know, we could spend, I just bought today a $1,200 course on writing ad copy. And, you know, so it's kind of a subject you go into and spend a lot of time with them, but we don't have that kind of time tonight. So I just want to kind of touch upon, in my mind, what are the important elements of a sales letter. And when you break it down, it breaks down to three main things. Basically, you need a star, a story, and a solution. So the star is the person that the sales letter is about. So if you're telling a story and you're going out there, usually you're going to be the star of the story. Sometimes it might be your client, it might be your wife, or whatever it might be. So you have a star of the sales letter, and that's very important. And now the next thing is you need to have a story, because people get involved in stories and they read stories. They don't read sales letters. People read stories. And so, you know, one example of this, my dad has a product he's creating about how to quit snoring. And so for him, you know, he was the star of the story, obviously. He was the person who had the snoring problem. And the story was that he was, you know, one night he woke up to his wife, my mom, you know, all angry, storming out of bed and yelling about how she hasn't had a good night's sleep in 10 years and da-da-da-da, and tells the story. Now, if you're a snorer and you're reading that story, you can empathize with that. And you start reading the story and start, you know, listening to the story going throughout the process. And then as the story kind of goes on, what happens is the story you want to use to agitate the problem. So my dad's situation, he's going to talk about, you know, how snoring is ruining his marriage and how he can't get a good night's sleep and his wife and his kids are struggling, and they keep agitating this problem and agitating, making it worse and worse in the mind of the reader. And after they've agitated it for a while, the next step is to provide the solution, and your product becomes that solution.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the process we use in our sales letter. If you read any of our sales letters, it works just like that. We have a star of the sales letter, there's a story, which is agitating a problem, and then we provide a solution, which is our product. And those are the key elements you really, really need in a sales letter.
Yeah, when I first met you, your wife was expecting your twins, and you wrote so many great sales letters using your twins. You even had a website for your twins before they were born.
Yeah.
And that was really great.
Yeah, and we still use those. So
yeah, it was a
use them in our sales letter. In fact, they're sitting right here with me, both of them, right now. So
yeah, because me personally, I really connected with you when you were talking about the twins and what you were going through, and it was just
Oh, yeah. It
was great. I know a lot of people that were in our class together really connected with you during that time.
Well, good. That's good. And, you know, I think that's really important. One of the things that we teach a lot of times, too, is the importance of creating an attractive character. When you're communicating with your audience and you're telling stories, it's important to kind of develop your own attractive character, because, you know, people empathize with that and be drawn into you, and they're going to, you know, listen to you. They're going to buy your products. They're going to, you know, be part of your events, things like that, because they're drawn to the character you create. And so it's so important that when you're communicating with customers, that you do have an attractive character that you've developed, and that character is the one that's going out there and communicating with people. And so for me, you know, my attractive character that I put out to the public, a couple of things, obviously. I share with people that I'm a wrestler. I share some, you know, personal stuff about my family and our twins and things like that. And that's what gets people to relate to me really well. And so when I'm trying to sell products, it makes it easier. And so everyone, you know, who's listening to this is, think about what elements of your personal life story you can use it to become your attractive character. What things are you willing to go out and show to the public? Now, you don't want to show people everything, obviously, but find the really attractive elements in your personal life and use those to go out and share with other people.
One of the big questions I always get from people is, how do I get traffic to my website?
Okay, that is a great question. Well, let me kind of turn it on you real quick. What is your best way to drive traffic? What do you focus on right now?
A lot of the ways I get it are submitting articles out on the internet, and recently started blogging and sending out a newsletter and making that,
how's that
personal connection.
So far?
Yeah, if you get personal with your readers, you get more reaction from them. If you send out a boring newsletter that doesn't talk about your personal life or anything but business, people don't really respond.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, there are so many different ways to drive traffic. It depends on which one you want to focus on. The kind of, you know, we have a process with ours. Our biggest key that we're doing, first off, is to have some kind of way to to gather leads, like a squeeze page or something we can get people's name and email address from. Then we try to figure out as many different ways that we can drive traffic as possible. And we've got a, I call it my traffic portfolio, but quite a few different ways that we drive traffic to the website. The first one that we obviously focus on, same as...
Okay, I'm switched. Do you see there?
Yep, that's better.
Okay, good. I apologize about that. Back to your question was how to drive traffic. Now, we focus on a wide variety. And originally, it was just me driving traffic, and so I did everything myself. Now, I've got... I hire different people for each different aspect. So I have one person who's focused 100% on search engine. We've got one guy who does only does pay-per-click, but one guy who does all our affiliate management. So I bring in different people to focus on it on different parts, but you know it's important to have a wide variety of ways you drive traffic. And one of the reasons why is because if one source dries up, you don't want your business to die. And I've seen people, I mean, a lot of my really close friends who relied 100% on search, and search changed, and they lost their business. Other guys who relied 100% on pay-per-click, pay-per-click changed, they lost their business. And so it's important to have a variety of traffic sources. But before you dive into exactly what traffic source, the key to this is figuring out first who your target market is. If you know who your target market is, everything else becomes easy. And I learned this lesson, actually. My senior year, we were working with one of my marketing classes, we were working with a company. And the guy in the company came and said, yeah, I sell these socks that go on people who have diabetes on their legs, and it helps the circulation, things like that. And so we're writing a marketing plan for him. We said, what are you doing right now with him? He's like, well, I got him, at Walmart. I've got him at a couple, big retail stores I'm trying to get him into and things like that. And I looked at it and I said, that's not that smart, because if you look at it, maybe at Walmart you might have, 50, 60 people a day who come through who could use your product. I said, what you need to do is you need to find your target market, find a community of people in your target market and take your product there. So we started looking around the community and said, we found one place that was like an old folks home. And we went there, and the population of people that had some sort of diabetes was huge. So we brought his product there, and it had a huge target market of people, and he sold tons of them. And we said, okay, what's another one? He said, well, hospitals have a lot of people who have these types of problems. We took him to hospitals, got him in the stores there. He made a ton of money. And so the key wasn't to go out and try to advertise just all over the place, but was to try to find a target market and bring your message there. And so online, the whole process of online doing this is 1,000 times easier. Basically what you do online, and people online, they congregate in similar groups. So, for me, for example, with my potato gum product, when I was trying to figure out if I should create that product and market it, I said, I wonder if there's like a forum or a message board or something where there's a whole bunch of people who talk about potato guns. And so I went, went online and I went to Google and I typed in potato gun forum. And if you type that in right now, I think the very top site is called spudtech.com. Click on SpudTech, and they have a forum in there with, I think, about 3,800 people. And all those people in there are talking about potato guns all day. They're talking about how to shoot the potatoes and what kind of propellants the best to use and all sorts of stuff like that. And, if I'm selling a potato gun product, am I going to go throw that thing, on TV, or am I going to go to this potato gun forum where there's, almost the entire target market in the world is sitting there all day talking about potato guns?
It doesn't obviously get any easier than that.
Yeah, it makes it easy. And, when I was wrestling in college, we used to always, there's a site called themat.com, and that was a wrestling forum. And I think there's 10,000 plus wrestlers, and I was one of them. We sat all day there talking about the wrestling. And then last night I went to bodybuilding.com. They have over 477,000 people in their forum. Now, if I'm selling bodybuilding supplements, where am I going to go advertise? Obviously, in these forums, huge communities of people. And so you can try to buy ad space on their forums. Usually can't advertise directly in your messages, but you can put signature files to drive people to your squeeze pages and start building a list. And the key is to finding out who your target market is and then where they're congregating. And the second thing you want to start looking at is looking at people who sell similar products to yours, because those people already have lists of your target market. Some guy just bought, say you're selling golf clubs. You go to some guy's website who's selling golf shoes, and he's been selling for 5 years, and you got a whole bunch of customers who bought golf shoes. That's going to be a great person for you to join a venture with, to have him sell your golf clubs, because he's going to make money, you're going to make money, and the work's already been done. He's already built the list.
Right.
That's the first thing I focus on, is first finding communities and finding people who have similar products that complement mine. And the next thing I do is I start doing all the other ways, like submitting articles, submitting press releases. Press releases is something I always believed in them. This week, I just believe in them a million times more. We submitted one press release, and it got picked up by a company
who is an as seen on TV company, and they contacted this week from this press release, and we're in negotiations right now in building a national advertising campaign around our product where they're fronting all the costs,
right,
and we get all the leads in the back end from one press release, which could potentially be worth millions of dollars, not to mention all the links we're getting back from it. So press releases are huge, and they can be free. If you go to prweb.com, you can submit them for free, or you can get some that are a little more expensive for more distribution. Setting up pay-per-click campaigns is big. Getting banners on sites that are similar to ours. Tons of ways to drive traffic that you can focus on. And next to the key is doing quite a few different ways, so if one traffic source dries up, you can still focus on other ones.
So to recap, if I'm starting out and I don't have much money, I could go to forums, submit articles, and do press releases all for free and get lots of traffic.
Yeah, I would definitely start the way. In fact, that's exactly, I mean, if you want to know when I got started, how I started, that's exactly how I got started.
Yeah.
I went initially to forums, and I started posting messages, and I put my signature line at the bottom. I started building a list. And then when I was posting the forums, I saw that people who were centers of influence in the market, I started calling them and becoming friends with them. And so when my next product came out, I was friends with them, and I said, hey, here's my new product, and these guys already liked me. It was easy to get them to promote them. And then just kind of went on like that. So I did all the free ways first because they were free, but they're also the most effective ones.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Because everybody thinks it's too expensive to get on the internet. It's just, it costs a fortune.
Yeah.
But you can do it for free.
Yeah, it's free. And the most interesting thing is how effective the free ways are. It really cracks me up when it comes back to people saying, I don't have any money to invest in this business. Well, you don't really need that much. You either need some money or some time, and you can pick one or the other. If you have more time than money, then use your time to go and build these relationships and find the people you can network with and make money that way. If you've got more money than time, then you can buy the traffic and start paying for it. It just kind of depends on where you are in your business and your life right now.
Right. And each of these is an art in itself. We can take time to learn it, or you can outsource it.
Yep. That's true.
Okay. Well, we had a couple questions from some of the people that signed up. Richard, would you like to read some questions?
Sure, Ted. One of the questions had to do with cash flow. Person wanted to find out how they can improve their cash flow or work with the cash flow they have.
It was how to improve your cash flow? Is that what the thing was?
Yeah, how to improve your cash flow.
I didn't quite hear that. What was that last thing?
I guess how they can improve their cash flow if they have an online, if they're online or in their business in general.
Okay. Let me share you a secret that I haven't told too many people about yet. This is what we're doing for our cash flow. I got to the point where my employee fees were around $30,000 a month. And I thought, these guys do a lot of good work, but I keep paying $30,000 a month for these guys. I want to figure out a way to kind of make them pay for themselves. And so during our last kind of our product launch, we had a free DVD we were giving away to people. And after someone clicked on, yes, I want to order the free DVD, the next page said, okay, you got two ordering options. One where you get just the DVD, we'll send it out to you, or a second one, where you order the DVD, we'll also give you a free month of our print magazine. And what the print magazine is I've got, $30,000 a month worth of my money invested in my employees, and once a month they're in charge of writing an article teaching the best stuff that they've been doing that month and what they're doing, blah, 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 blah. And you'll get a free copy of the magazine if you order this DVD option. And then if you like the magazine 30 days from now, we'll rebill you at $39 a month. And so we sent that out. And within a week, I had a $40,000 a month cash flow increase because we had over 870 people sign up for the magazine the first week, which times $49 a month equals a whole bunch of cash flow. So what we did is we created a continuity program, basically. We leveraged the cost and the assets we already have and turned it into something that we could turn into something that would generate cash flow. And what's nice about the magazine now is just from our first initial launch, we had that many people, and we haven't even written a sales letter for it yet. We're going to keep continuing to grow and to build on it. But having some kind of continuity program in place is the key to having good cash flow, because that's what makes it easier to advertise each month and to pay your salaries and pay your fees, because you've got something that's generating money each month, whether you're actively doing anything or not.
I joke about it sometimes, but you know, what kind of real estate in the world could you ever create that would generate $40,000 a month in revenue after about a week worth of work?
Right.
There's none in the world. So if you want cash flow, create some kind of continuity program. And I think a print newsletter is the best way. You look at the best guys in the industry. Look at Dan Kennedy. Look at, I know Trafficology does. And these guys that do print newsletters, these are the guys that are the best in the world. And look at that. You know, in your industry, can you create a print newsletter, yes or no? Most industries you can, if you look at it. And so create some kind of print newsletter or some kind of something that people are paying for, you are going to pay for monthly, and that's how you can solve your cash flow problems. And it was easy to market. Like I said, we weren't even selling a product. We were giving away a free DVD. Now, the upsell, we were also giving away a free month of it. And from giving away a free month, we added almost 900 people just during that first week to our continuity program. So that's something that, you know, anyone can do really, really easily, even if you're writing your own articles and putting it together yourself. So that's, as far as cash flow programs, that's the key online, is figuring out continuity programs and adding it to your offers. If you already have an ebook you're selling right now, how can you turn that into a continuity program? Can you do an interview of the month? Can you interview someone in an expert in the field each month, burn it on CD and send it out to people? You know, all that kind of stuff. In fact, if I was getting to a new market and I had an ebook and it wasn't selling very well, this is what I would do, is I would give the ebook away for free, and I would add a continuity program on it where I interviewed one expert a month on whatever the subject it was, on potato guns or whatever, and that would be my continuity and my cash flow. And that cash flow is what makes everything else possible in your business. So hopefully that gives people some ideas and, you know, kind of what we're doing over here in our offices.
So if you're having a problem with cash flow in your business, it comes back to that mindset, is you can either think, I can't afford it, or how can I afford it?
Yeah, and exactly.
You paid for your $30,000 a month expenses and made $10,000 more by changing your mindset.
Yeah, exactly. How can I use these assets to, you know, these liabilities? How can I turn these liabilities into an asset? Well, I can do that by, you know, figuring out a way to profit off them directly. And it comes back to mindset and how you're looking at things, and how you're thinking outside of the box and when you're creating things.
Right. So if I was a person just starting out, what would you recommend? I guess you have a new course coming out soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd recommend, and the first thing I do is I would try to figure out a system. There's a system online, and you can do what I didn't spend 2 years trying to figure out a system, or you can find someone who knows the system and latch on to that person and learn from them. And basically that's what kind of what we did. We created, we actually started selling a home study course that is a system that I've been doing my whole business. I'm going to kind of give you some background on what the home study course is. Last summer, I got a call from my dad. He said, hey, your brother's kind of struggling down here, and he knows what you're doing up there, and he's wondering if he'd come up and basically spend a weekend with you, and you kind of show him some stuff about the Internet and how he can make some extra money. And I thought, yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. You know, let him come on up. So he was going to come on up, and then a couple days later, my dad called again and said, I kind of told a couple of the people what your brother was doing, and they all want to come too. Your cousins and some of your buddies, and I thought, you know, all right, let's make this a little workshop. So we planned to have a workshop. And then I thought, I'm already doing this workshop. I wonder if, you know, who else would find this to be valuable. And so I sent an email out to my list and said, look, what's happening is I'm putting on a seminar for my brothers and my best friends, and I'm doing this to help them, and I'm not going to be, obviously I'm not going to hold anything back because I want them to be successful and to make money. And so there's no purpose, no reason for me not to tell them everything I do and why I do it, how I do it. And so I'm putting on a seminar. It's going to be, no holds barred, everything I really do. And if you guys want to come, it's going to be $10,000. And I kind of said that jokingly. I never sold $10,000 things through email before, and just kind of left it at that. And what surprised me is I had a ton of people order. Like I said, caught me off guard completely, but we ended up having a full workshop. Had over 35 people attend it, and we recorded the whole thing, and that's what the home study course is that we created. Now, the home study course is broken into a few different segments. The first segment we talk about is mindset, and how to create the mindset you need to be successful online. The second section we talked about, I actually had my dad come up, and he spoke about the legal structuring of a business, how to protect yourself from creditors and predators. And he talked all about the right way to structure a business. Now, the next day is when I start talking about product creation. And we didn't get too much into this tonight, but product creation is one of my most favorite parts of the whole business. I think I went over about 25 or 30 different ways to create products quickly and easily and fast, how to make instant products. And so that was, we spent about half a day going through that. And then the rest of that day, we talked about how to write ad copy and how to structure sales letter, what things make people buy and not buy. We really focused focused hard on that. So that was the second day. Now, the third day, you know, at this point, the business is set up, people's mindset's right, they've created a product, and they have a sales letter up. That's the, you know, that's all the hard work. Your point now is to drive as much traffic to that website as possible. And so the next day, we spent the whole day discussing how to drive traffic. We talked about building lists, finding your target market, doing joint ventures, building an affiliate program to get other people's affiliate products for you, how to do free search, how to do paid search, how to do joint ventures, and then also how to use offline marketing to get customers online. We spent a whole day on traffic generation. And so the biggest thing I did with this, and the reason why I did this is for my, like, for my brothers, for my family, is I wanted to create a system that was complete. You know, I see so many people out there teaching segmented things that teach one little piece of the business. Now, you can learn that, you can buy the course or go to the seminar, but after it's done, you know one little piece of it. You know, and you got to buy the next thing to figure out the next piece, and then you have to buy something else to figure out the next piece, and you know, next thing you know, you're $10,000 in debt. So I thought, you know, I want to create something for my family that's going to be, this is the A to Z. This is step-by-step how you create your own information marketing business online. And how you first off, how you develop it, and then second, how you take it to the next level and start making, you know, five figures a month and six figures a month and beyond. And so that's kind of what the workshop is and what the home study course we created, what it's about.
I wish you would have done this 3 years ago, because I've spent the last 3 years doing exactly what you did. Buying programs, going to workshops, and studying.
And how much money did you spend, do you think, in the last 3 years doing that? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, at least $30,000.
Oh, man, it's amazing, huh?
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we've set up a link on our website for you, and it talks more about the product if people are interested. And the link we set up is mortgagepronews.com/thrive/russell.html. And we'll send out an email to everybody with that link. But our motto for this year is thrive, don't just survive. And that's what we want to teach everybody.
Awesome.
Yeah.
MortgagePronews.com?
MortgagePronews.com/thrive/russell.html.
Cool. Going to right now, so I'm making sure that I can...
Yeah, I've got the course, and it's just, it's great. I love it so far. Like I said, I just wish we would have had it 3 years ago. Well, thanks, Russell. Anything else you want to add?
Yeah, not a problem. I appreciate you having me on the call. You know, the biggest thing I just want to kind of re-stress to everybody, you know, the whole internet marketing business, it works. It's real. It's something that can make you a ton of money. It can change your life. I know it has for me. It has for my family. It has for the people who have gone through our training systems. You know, it changes people's lives when you understand how easy it is to do it. And so my biggest thing is, you know, if you've been learning about it, you've been studying, if you haven't had success yet, take the next step. Next step is to take some action and to move forward and to be successful. You know, after you learn the system, it's not that difficult to do it once and then to repeat it, do it again, and repeat it, do it again. And, you know, that's basically with me. As soon as I figured out the system, I did it once, I did it twice, I did it three times, and every time I did it, I was getting a raise. You know, 1 month I was making $1,000 a month. I copied the system. Now next month I was making $2,000 a month. I copied it again, went to $5,000, and just kept building and building. And you can do that exact same thing. And so that's just my biggest, the thing I want to mention to people on the call is take action, move forward, and this stuff works. And if you focus on it and you know, dedicate some time to it each day, you can turn it into a huge business. You can, you know, you can have the things you want. If you had told me, you know, 3 years ago the kind of money I'd be making today, I would have laughed at your face. I never even thought in my mindset that it was possible to make $1 million a year as a 26-year-old kid. Never in a million years would I ever believe that. Two years later, I'm like, I can't believe I'm only making $1 million a year. What do I need to do to get the next step? And it comes down to that mindset and taking action and believing in yourself and moving forward. So that's kind of just what I want to say in closing is, you know, take the action you need, and you know, the rewards will come to you afterwards.
And what I see with this is you can leverage your knowledge, turn it into information products. And if you're a loan officer or a realtor or a profession like that, you can supplement your income by selling your knowledge.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's a beautiful point. Especially you're in the industry every single day. You're out there. If you're a dentist, you're around other dentists. Now, you create a system and start selling to other dentists, you're already in the industry. You're supplementing, and pretty quickly, you know, if you do it right, it's going to surpass the money you're already making. And so at that point, you're being a dentist or whatever it is for fun, not so much because you need the extra money.
Right.
So that's huge. Use it as a supplement and then use it to replace it so that you can have the freedom you really want.
Yep. Well, great, Russell. This has been fantastic.
Yeah, I had a fun time. Apologize, my phone kind of died out a little earlier, but I think the call turned out really good. I had a great time with you. Hopefully everyone on the call learned a couple of things, and I really look forward to working with everybody on the call who does decide to invest in our home study course and kind of work with us as a company.
Great.
Yep. Well, thank you, Ted, and thank you, Russell. That was very exciting and very informative, and I know people cannot wait to get started and give it a try.
Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening in.
Talk to you soon.